What's cooking on 95BFM? Thanks to audioculture.co.nz, the noisy library of New Zealand music. Te pātaka korihi o ngā pōro o Aotearoa.
Heck yeah. It's that time of the week where we sort of get to sit back and let a guest selector take over things. And we've got a representative of Audio Culture in the room.
Yep. Got Gareth Shute.
Kia ora.
Published author, general music know-it-all.
Yep.
What's your position in the Audio Culture scene?
I've just been writing for them since they started, really. Cause cool. Music history website that covers all of New Zealand music, popular music back to the 50s and beyond. So someone like me who'd written a couple of books on New Zealand music history, it's really good to keep continuing.
Yeah.
Is it hard to sort of research it, some of it, because it's just so sort of published, a lot of it? Or
I mean, when I first did my hip-hop book and it was all 90s stuff and hip-hop just wasn't written about much. That was the worst, where you're really trying to catch people.
Was there not that much in, you know, Rip It Up? Were there articles and that sort of stuff?
Hip-hop was really the devil at one point, John. It was like the new punk.
Yeah, it was like no rap, no crap. It's like one of the station's logos and stuff.
Sometimes we get texts like that, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes on. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's Kerry Buchanan at Rip It Up and a few writers who were quite early in. Into it, but
Kerry Buchanan, who now
Southbound.
Works at Southbound, yeah. And a few other people picked it up quite early, but yeah, it was quite hard to. I mean, music journalism is hard enough to get facts about, and that's what I was relying on. What we're talking about today, the maps I've been trying to do about Auckland venues of the past,
right.
Was all based on kind of pretty scant information.
When you say past, what era are we talking?
Well, originally I wanted to do just one big one that went right back to the 1900s, but then I realised that a lot of music and that up till the talkies and cinema, they all had bands like orchestras and the cinema, and like, where am I going to draw the line here?
Like under the floor kind of thing.
Yeah, and people just played in halls, and like the whole idea of a venue didn't really make sense until the sort of dance hall era a bit later. So I started in the 50s of the published ones. I've got a 40s one I haven't published. But yeah, I went 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s was the latest map I've done.
How long does it take you to get a sort of piece together?
Well, those maps take a long time
because
it's a lot of, well, the more recent ones, a lot of sort of crowd research, like these 80s ones. I mean, the 60s one, I was really, that's like the borderline where people are starting to have real trouble remembering, and they're like, some of them are dying and so forth. It's like, oh man, we've got to get this history down.
You want to get it right.
But then two of them tell you two different things about where a venue was in the 60s. You're like, oh my god, how am I gonna like
do you just kind of like take it to social media and go, hey, can anyone help me out with this, or what, how, where do you start?
Yeah, that's where I kicked off with the spin-off. Actually did the first map, which when I was trying to do them all at once, and so I got heaps of social media from them, and then through the Audio Culture Facebook page, and then more recently there's that crazy Facebook group that Simon Gregg started that's like Auckland nightlife.
That has gone to bananas.
Thousands. Yeah. So anything you post there gets like 100 comments. So
yeah,
I'll definitely, when I get to the 90s, I'll be onto that.
The map of the map you have put together for the article, which is called Mapping Auckland's Venues the 1980s, is incredibly impressive.
Yeah, well, I wanted to have a photo of every venue, which was one of the stick-up points, but I often would just use an ad for some of the older ones. But the great thing about the 80s ones is that I could actually get images for most of them, and they're so sort of telling of the time, these sort of punks, and especially the disco kind of places like Aladdin's, which was on the corner of sort of the Civic, and there was another one called the Pepper Mill downtown, where like Billy T. James would play, and then like sort of Adija type Moana, Maniapoto type people, and so, but they were all still discos kind of jackets, and I don't know, we sort of big collared suits and stuff. So yeah, cool images.
Now we've got you to select a couple of songs. Do you want to talk us through the first song that you've chosen?
We've got
The Dudes featuring Peter Illich, who's like just been around forever and has had a, like, finger in so many pies, including, like, not just bands, but venues.
Yeah, that's why I thought
this
I'd play
radio them. Station.
Yeah. Yeah. I think his name's engraved over there.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought I'd bring him up, play his band, because he comes up twice. And because if you talk about 80s, a lot of people do talk about the glue pot, because it's hard to remember now, but in the 70s, in the beginning of the 70s, it was still, like, really early closing. Mm. Most music venues were still unlicensed places.
There was strange licensing going on around then, wasn't there?
Yeah, so they had this sort of cabaret license was the first alcohol one. Mm. So all the live gigs in the early 70s had like food and stuff as well, or like ways to get around it. Or a lot of people played at sort of taverns, like motel sort of places, because if you had a motel, it was okay to sell alcohol longer for some reason.
Yeah,
because travellers would be coming in late or whatever. But right. Yeah, I thought I'd cover the glue pot and the dudes sort of being, them and Hello Sailor being so tired with that sort of venue. And that was kind of interesting time where you listen back now, like people think of the dudes as like a sort of pub rock band because they came in that era of the pubs coming in. But if you listen to the song, it's so new wavy and punk, and they were just playing at the same venues as some of these punk bands and stuff.
All right, let's get it. The dudes, Walking in Light. Enjoy, everyone.
Yeah.
bona fide classic.
Yep. Yeah, it's not so overplayed as some of the other ones, eh?
Message us in, by the way, 5395, if you saw any of these bands in their heyday throwing down. You know, yep. Let us know what the energy was like. You were saying the dudes are sort of considered a pub rock band just because they were playing that scene, but the sound is sort of very different if you're perhaps catching it sort of for the first time before it got sort of categorized now in a nostalgic sense.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I mean, it's crazy that, like, Dave Dolman came from that band as well. Ricky Morris's older brother and stuff. And Ricky was, anyway, yeah. But, I mean, at the same time as that scene, there was, like, the post-punk sort of scene, which really was kind of moving in different areas, like ska and things like that. But, I mean, often they'd have to use kind of half-used venues like Windsor Castle in the afternoon they booked. That's, like, used to be Juice Bar on, like, Parnell that was a big spot. So dudes might be playing at night, but a lot of the punk bands played in the afternoon at these weird sort of...
Parnell was rad?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Go to the Empire, man.
I reckon...
Parnell creeps me out.
We definitely need to bring back that sort of early evening show.
Yeah.
You, like, have two or three shows on at a venue a night, you know?
Yeah.
That early show and then a late one. Just catch people on their way home.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
It's kind of missing. The other I feel thing like they, it doesn't exist nowadays.
The other thing they had along the 80s was all ages clubs. I guess it wasn't so strange coming from the 70s where there are still a lot because of licensing laws. But even in the 80s, there was like Cafe XS, which was like the old Island of Real, sort of just off from Queen Street. And that was another big punk venue that was all ages. And then the venue up on Simon Street at the top was like run by Russell Crowe, the actor, when he was doing his music career.
Wow.
He used to be like Russ LaRock, and he.
Do you mean the one on the corner that's kind of like the old?
He means
Italian
the one, the guy from Gladiator.
No, I mean the.
No, not that Russell down in the corner. No, it's all been demolished because of that area. It's quite hard to point out where it is up from southbound. I mean, there's quite a lot of venues there over the years. But yeah, like. I mean, Russell Crowe got his start down on the corner of the Civic. He had a bar under the street, and he DJ'd there first. And that was the craziest venue where they had, like, the DJ booth was a car that came out over the dance floor.
Rad.
And you, like, stood on the top of the car, like, DJing.
And I feel like we don't have enough sort of kitsch novelty stuff like that anymore. People are like... Pretty vanilla.
It's kind of hard to buy half a Chevy, John.
Well, it's pretty crazy. Like, I mean, there's a photo of it on the maps for the 80s page.
I'm sifting.
So you can have a look at it. If you search maps, you can find it on the Audio Culture website. But yeah, I mean, the trouble with that whole punk scene was it did get really violent. There was quite a, like, boot boys kind of scene got going. It was kind of weird, though, because it was sort of disassociated from the racist... boot boys in England. There were kind of Maori boot boys and stuff, but it was very violent, and so a lot
just
of venues
people that
didn't
wanted
to have
people wanted saying, to drink and fight sort
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah.
Is it kind of like a mods rockers situation? Just two different vibes.
Well, there was, I mean, in the late 70s at Zwines, it was right above a disco, and they had a lot of fights there. The Polynesian people go to the disco underneath.
Right.
And so there was a sort of disco versus punk thing, but by the 80s it was just, yeah, we would just want to cause trouble. And so this next song I was going to play, the Riot Squad, is about how the Riot Squads always used to turn up at the venue. So it became popular and actually charted and stuff because at the same time there was like Springbok Tour and stuff. And whole idea of the Riot Squad being like this kind of brutal force.
Was it like not a good gig until the Riot Squad showed up at one point, probably?
Yeah, well, I'm sure the Boot Boys just loved it. It was just another gang and they came in and let it loose.
All right, this is the Pneumatics with Riot Squad.
Keep it down.
That's the Pneumatics documenting the Riot Squad situation back in the 80s.
We've got Gareth Shute, published author and regular contributor to Audio Culture. Fantastic resource for anyone that wants to find out about New Zealand's rich musical history.
Did you write the Amps one, the one about New Zealand amps?
No, that's one of the most popular ones.
I love
on
that
the site,
one.
Though.
Yeah, I've got a few. Back when New Zealand had to make things because they were too expensive to get, it's such a fucking rad scene.
Yeah, two of the most popular pages on Audio Culture are the New Zealand guitars and the amps ones.
Rad.
Yeah, they're very cool looking, those old Jansen ones and stuff.
Mm. Mm.
We're talking mapping venues in the 80s.
Yep.
In Auckland City. Where to next?
Yeah, I thought I'd just talk about Keys and Wildlife, which was down on Key Street. That was another big club run by this guy, Gary Charlton, from a post-punk band called Sporting Life. It just had like quite a few key events kind of took place there. Like it was the place where When the Cat's Away, the supergroup, first came together. And it was also where they had the Ryneck Rock Awards.
Yo!
They need to come back.
Ryneck!
Fuck yeah. Yes. 3.5. We found Ryneck to be the best beer for if you need to you got to do a 3-hour radio show
right.
And not turn to shit. It's fantastic.
So they're like, when they had that at Keys nightclub, it was kind of a weird space as well because it kind of showed the nightclub sort of thing coming in because in the 80s, slowly they had good enough PAs where you could have DJs play and bands play a lot louder or whatever. Like DJing in the 70s was a bit sad, like they just had quite sad sort of PAs.
Mm.
And so it was good timing with how the sort of dance music thing came in. But yeah, as far as the Ryneck Rock Awards, I thought it'd be fun to play the Headless Chickens because they won the first Ryneck Rock Awards and it was meant to be this kind of middle of the road rock competition. So everyone was horrified that this... you know, just crazy alternative band who just real dark came through. And I think the track also speaks to that sort of electronica music just first arriving and stuff. You can hear samples on this track and beats and stuff. So like the 80s, the whole way the venues were starting to change around that time with the power station was the had a club called the Asylum there and stuff. And
chill.
Was it called Galaxy?
It was called Galaxy as a rock club before a power station and then like one night a week I think it was the Asylum or whatever. So it was kind of a combo venue. But let's play this track and then we'll talk about that sort of thing.
Your happy day is here again. 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 Your happy day is here again.
That's a good song. That's Headless Chickens Expecting to Fly, as chosen by Gareth Shute, representing audio culture for us and just taking on us a bit of a journey of the 80s scene, which is really quite interesting.
Yeah, we're talking, my 80s map is up there if anyone wants to click along. But yeah, the next thing, we started with the dudes. I thought it was also important to talk about Peter Ehrlich and his friend Mark Phillips. As nightclub owners as well, they really kickstarted the like dance music scene in Auckland with a certain bar, the Brat, Zanzibar, Club Roma. They had like a run of clubs where they almost pre-house music. It's kind of funny. They got in like right ahead of the scene and they really had to struggle to get like records. But then by the end of the 80s, well, firstly, I mean, in the mid of the 80s, you could still have like dance halls, like the Orange was still having classic old dance hall style things where partners would turn up to dance together to an orchestra and stuff. So that was still surviving from the 50s, this weird dance hall scene up on Newton Road with the Orange. And then at the other hand, you'd have places like the 6 Month Club, which was kind of where Aotea Square is now, before they built Aotea Square and they demolished that road and moved Merrill Drive around. Cook Street used to still go along, and Peter Ehrlich started a club there as well called the 6 Month Club because it was going to be demolished. So that really kickstarted the sort of dance music scene. And the other big one was the Siren that came right at the end of the 80s, which was on High Street, which later became Box and Cours Célèbres and stuff. And the interesting thing was at that time, the sort of dance music scene and hip hop were quite tied together. So at these clubs and also sort of dance raves, you'd have hip hop alongside dance music. I think because of that English style of like soul to soul kind of, it was sort of rappy dance music and coming out of England, and that was still a bigger influence maybe on New Zealand. So one of the groups that hung around a Siren a lot was Up Up Posse, who was this Wellington band who moved up here to bring their hip hop, and they ended up signing to Southside up here and stuff. So I just thought I'd play one of their tracks, a slightly more unusual one that kind of might give you an idea of what the sound of, would be like at the Siren on High Street, sort of 89. It's like very drum machine, a lot of scratching, and then just very on the beat rapping.
Yeah. I've just found that picture of that venue with the car coming through the wall, by the way. It looks fucking awesome. You're not joking. It's like legit a car kind of hanging over the stage almost.
Imagine looking up and Russell Crowe is DJing in the car, but he's dressed like a rockabilly weird throwback. Like, it was quite a time, the 80s. All sorts of things were going on.
Let's get this
let's fade this in slowly. There might be a bit of spoken word on the front here, but hopefully I've cued it kind of close to where the track starts.
I mean, it's all in the flow. Low.
it's running, cause we been chicken and spitting while on the story goes. Knowing to be slowing the way the wind blows. Mind device has got you in a trap and keeping you like that, they're making you step back from below, dictating where you should go. Mind control, manipulating, telling your soul. It ain't odd, even ain't odd. It ain't odd, we rub jobless mixed up, wanna give up, but if you understand, it really ain't odd when you know the system just a parasite and slug. Control of minds, crime creator, sharpen your claws, the floors. We gotta break down doors, the iniquity, yeah. We see the hypocrisy, you know. We don't buy it, but we kick it, fly it, hang it out and try it. Toast it, float it, put the horn in your blood. Too long, this grass can't let it grow. Tell them so, against the flow. Against the flow. Against the flow. Against the flow. You dig it? Suckers, cause they don't impress. Siding riding with the wave called righteousness. Looking in the eye of an evil sin. Pity on the circle, Lord, wicked and bent. Brother ain't a brother, wants to go with the flow. Wake the sucker up, we'll let him rot down below. Like Tommy's in the house, just the Bible on mouth. Look out, the tides turn right, roast them in a heavy doubt. They want him there mouthing what they want him to say. Aside people shouting, hey, where the hell's that new day? Assuming a position for the people he's speaking. A fool, too much ego he's seeking. Money he gets from someone else's booty rolls. A political puppy, yeah, we know. Siding with evil, that grass we gotta mow. Tell him so, against the flow. Against the flow. Against the flow. Against the flow. Talking and walking out with no delay. Smoking with the truth that the righteous say. Choking on the games that the foolish try to play. You gotta roll with the boats below and give them a show. Block them up the lies, to them a food to go. Intelligize and realize why it's like that. Teach the truth to the young so they'll never step back. It's in our hands, let's get our plan. We together stand, it's our time. Understand it? They wanna know, let's give them a show. Tell them so. Against the flow. Against the flow. Against the flow. We're against the flow. Kick that. Enough is enough. Time's up, it's our time. Have you seen, have you read the sign? The system's doomed, get in the righteous, no. Tell them so. Against the flow.
Counts as a B-side as well, that upper hot posse, 100%.
Deep cut.
For sure.
It's good. Some fantastic tracks, Gareth Shute, representing audio culture here for What's Cooking this evening.
A lot of texts coming in, people reminiscing about the spots. Thank you
so much.
Don't
forget the asylum. We just talked about that a bit earlier.
No, sorry.
Missed that. Do you have a did you make it to any venues in the 80s? Did you have a favourite?
No, I probably was just too young. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have missed that. But I mean, the ones that survived to the 90s, I did, like Glupod. I remember going to and saw the 3Ds there. I skated there, and then I put my skateboard on the stage, and at the end David Mitchell, the guitarist, made his guitar get feedback and was rolling it across the stage on the skateboard and stuff. It was a great kind of venue. It was a very long room, but in you know, these are all places where they seem amazing in your memory, but if you ever went there in the daytime, it's just like slimy beer on the walls. And like,
it's whammy bar.
I think something that brought that into focus for me was after lockdown, visiting Whammy Bar after they had like a month or two to clean it.
Yeah.
And then just being able to actually compare what it was like before and after. Yeah. You do just go, oh my God, these places actually get so grimy.
It is amazing how long running some of these places have been. I mean, obviously Whammy Bar used to be Calibre, the nightclub.
True,
and
true.
There's places like Galatos that has been going since 1920s. You speak this place called the Druids Hall.
It's such a rad spot.
And they have dance halls there and stuff, yeah.
When you go and watch a band there and everybody's sort of syncopated dancing because it's got the wooden floor, that actually moves and you're like, shit, we're in a building, you know? Yeah, and it really adds to the whole vibe, you know? And then if you're downstairs at a gig and that's happening, it's freaky.
Yeah, so imagine that, you know, you're a same venue but you're dancing with a partner and then they're doing bingo between the sets and then you have dinner and then you dance some more.
Figuring
and
out.
And it has to play for like 5 hours because there's no turntable or record player or PA.
Oh, Gareth Shute, thanks so much for coming in, man. Absolute pleasure. We're like pleased as punch to have Audio Culture sponsoring What's Cooking. So we look forward to, I guess it's once a month, we're going to get somebody up from Audio Culture to sort of shoot the shit about their recent piece.
Yeah, cool.
And, so go ahead and check out the maps, mapping Auckland venues, the 1980s. There is a couple more that go back 70s and 60s and stuff as well. So
yeah, and keep an eye out when I do the 90s one. I'll need people to contribute their ideas and any photos. It gets harder. There's a sort of, the worst is 2000s where everyone's got shitty little digital photos.
Mm. But almost like it's, but, there'll be, you'll have to sort of pick and choose as well. It's not like there'll be more to choose from. So you're going to have, some people are going to have to miss out.
I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. But yes, thanks guys.
Thanks
so
much.
Cheers, Gareth.
What's Cooking on 95BFM. Thanks to audioculture.co.nz, the noisy library of New Zealand music. Te pātaka korihi o ngā pōro o Aotearoa.